This podcast is rough around the edges for a simple reason. We are amateurs. We make this in the spirit of Samizda. Because art is not a commodity, philosophy is not pointless, and religion is not a waste of time. Enjoy the crunch.
All right, we're doing it. This is Echologaria, conversations about art, philosophy, religion, and, when we're feeling punchy, Star Trek. This is my co-host, Rev.
Hello.
And I'm Saw. And, as we discussed, we're now doing our pilot episode.
It's episode zero, the one where we really shoot the shit, because the very first one when we did Fallout, like Fallout music, it was supposed to be a Fallout's radio music, and good God, 80% of it was just me talking about why I hate Boston and Fallout 4.
But you know what? It was good.
But also, you know, so that we've come a long way from here, and I say that mostly because, like, even by the time we were doing, like, American Humiliation Kink, I was kind of, like, parting the curtain a little bit. I had pneumonia really bad, so I don't even remember recording that episode.
It was good.
I mean, it was all right, but like listening to it in retrospect is like almost painful because I talked so slow.
But that's what I
so
like
it's like
about
every
this. That's what I like
yeah
about
no
the format. It was in the Indelicate server. There's hopefully future guest who says, yeah, I liked it. These podcasts, you know, they're all professional and they do like editing and cutting out the coughs and scheduling and notes, and we're not like that, man. We don't do
that
that shit.
Professional shit, like making a good podcast.
Yeah. So we'll start with, so yeah, this is sort of the pilot, and this would be the episode for the all of, I guess, now a total of five or seven people who are listening to this.
Yeah.
This would be the episode to send to people, not to get them interested in the podcast, but to let them put as a warning. As a
Yeah.
warning for what to expect.
Yeah. God, okay. Okay, here's the thing. I've been sitting on this one for a while.
Sure.
I've been sitting on this one for a while. It's like I wanted to have some kind of religion episode, but I was never really sure like where that would go or what the hell I would even talk about. We need a Marjo episode.
Oh yeah.
We need
Oh
a
yeah.
Marjo episode. But it's like I have been sitting on this story forever, and this is one of those stories that I just kind of like this is the one I drag out for parties, you know.
Yeah, this is
In
the
a
one. So
weird
this is
way.
what we're gonna start with. We're gonna start with this story because I know you've kind of. I don't think I even know the full story. I think you've kind of you've mentioned it in passing and sort of like here and there, but I don't think I've sort of. I haven't heard, you know, the party version. So
Oh
take
my
it away.
God. Okay. So first of all, just like a little bit of context, and this is also just a little bit of like a get to know you sort of thing. I was raised like basically non-religious until I was like 7 years old. And then at which point, like my dad converted to Catholicism for my mom. He had been going, he had like a weird Baptist phase before this. And like my mom and I kind of stayed out of that, which is why I say tentatively non-religious, but I digress. And even then, like the Catholicism that I got was like really chill. Like I'm probably the only person who ever like made it out of Catholicism with approximately zero religious trauma.
Certainly the only one I know. Oh, I would say there's one person I know. I think they're a if they're listening, they'll know who they are, so I won't give any details. I'll just say that I don't think they did either, but that's because there was so much other stuff going on around them that it kind of crowded, that it was almost like the religious trauma didn't really have a place to get in there.
Oh yeah, no, real talk, it's like, man, I was on drugs. There was no way that the Catholicism trauma could find any purchase. Like that real estate was already taken up by so many other things. But I digress. I will say, the environment was very, for one, we have this priest, and it's like, God, I wish I could get an interview with him for what they believe, because he would be so great at it. Basically, this really chill Jesuit dude, and it's like no question was off the table, like all of the stuff where, and it's like my mom was never like this, but the kind of stuff where most people's moms are like, oh my God, you can't ask that, no, you could straight up, you could ask him, and he'd be like, okay, this is the historical reason for it, this is the psychological reason for it, this is like the theological reason for it, this is kind of what I think. Make up your own mind about it,
Which is really cool, and I know
which
it,
is it's very
it,
Jesuit. It's very Jesuit.
yeah, exactly. Like that's kind of the thing that I've heard is that like if you get a priest who is at a Catholic church, and they were either before that they had been a Franciscan or they were educated as a Jesuit, like you hang on to that priest with both hands, because that guy is going to be great.
Oh yeah, and it's like, and he's also one of the only priests I ever encountered who had actually had like a real job before going to seminary. Like he was like a middle school band teacher for
Oh,
like 10
wow.
years.
Oh,
Yeah.
wow.
Yeah, no, he d absolutely great dude. Bottom line, I was accustomed to a certain kind of environment. And I had zero exposure to like what the Pentecostals were doing, if that makes sense. And even like the Baptist church that I had gone to a few times during my dad's weird Baptist phase was very like low key. It was very mellow and somber. And yeah, 90% of it was like a guy giving a TED talk basically about just
Right.
whatever was on his mind, but
Yes.
it's like there was at least like some attempt at like something scholarly, something kind of educational,
Yeah.
but I digress, and this is not this is not the Rev Rags on Protestants episode,
Yeah, we'll get to
but
that later.
yeah, I had, yeah, no, it's like I had a lot of internalized Protestant phobia because like all of like the little like specifically all of like the really neurotic Southern Baptist kids that I went to school with, they would like, kind of suddenly get really buddy buddy with me, and I'd be like, okay. What do you want?
Yeah, which is
Fun.
so funny to me because when I was growing up, and we'll definitely get the with my deal. It was Catholic kids because I was Jew. That was when I was like, I'm Jewish, sort of. We'll get into that later. But anyways, but they wanted to be my friends. That kind of, I think we both had kind of a strange thing like that, where we were like, huh, okay.
Yeah.
What
Which,
are
worth
you
noting,
doing?
Northern Catholicism is the kind of shit that like completely rules your life, and that's the shit that like really like you are not escaping without some mortal wounds. Southern Catholicism, in my experience, is like really laid back and borderline secular. And it's like, and I've been to several, like, and obviously it's like there are people who are not chill, you know, but
Yeah.
it's very different from like, you know, like a Catholic church in Texas, like specifically like urban Texas is a lot different from like what you're gonna get in like Philadelphia or some shit, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, so it's like, you know, all of like the little Southern Baptists for, you know, basically everybody going to the mega churches, they would get really buddy buddy with me, and then they would hit me with the like, oh, by the way, like, would you like to come to church with me? And I'd have to hit them with the, no, thank you, sorry, I'm Catholic. And then they just never spoke to me again. It was like specifically like, because it's like some of the other kids, you know, like if you were like kind of like soft Methodist, you know, or if you were like, you know, non-religious, they would kind of dog at you a lot more.
Yeah.
But if you were Catholic, they just left you the fuck alone. They were like, okay, there's no
Oh.
changing this one's mind.
Oh, I can't compete with this.
Yeah, no. So interestingly, which. Okay, so my dad, and his sisters, they were all raised like staunch atheist. Like
Okay.
specifically, their mother is like she is just, it's like the woman is like 90 years old, but the way she acts about it is just very, when I was 10, my grandma gave me a Bible. When I was 20, I gave it back to her in two pieces, kind of shit.
Oh boy. He was the Reddit atheist.
Yeah, no, like she's just very, and it's like, here's the thing, it's like, you know. It's like that's fine, but basically she's just one of those people who kind of like goes out of her way to be an asshole about things, and it's like, yeah, but it's like there's also plenty of people who are, Lord knows, there are plenty of people who are Christian who go out of their way to be an asshole about it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, most of them are in our federal government.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, but it's like bottom line, the way that her kids sort of rebelled against her was by getting religious.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a weird, it's like, okay, it's like that's what you picked, all right. So you know, it's like my dad had that. My aunts went fundy.
Oh no.
Yeah, my dad's sisters, and they live in this teeny, like basically in their hometown in Ohio, like adjacent to their hometown in Ohio. And pretty much everybody in that town goes to this one church, and it was made out of like an old school. And it's one of those where it's like, you know, just completely labyrinthine. And it's like, here we have the coffee house, here we have human foosball, and
Yeah, so
like
I
it's
the
really cool, but it's like
yeah.
kind of scary.
Yeah, and the like I have gone to a mega church once. There are several of them around like in central North Carolina. And it's the coffee house in the mega church always got me. Because I remember going there on Sunday and there were people working behind the counter. And I was like, wait a minute. Wait, 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 wait. What are you doing? You're not supposed to be there. So that just, man.
This
Anyway,
was, yeah,
yeah.
it's like, this was like that, but, you know, on a budget of like maybe a single Benjamin and like a few ham sandwiches, which is like they did incredible things with this building, don't get me wrong. I say coffee house, it was basically self-serve.
Which that's a little different. That's a little different.
But it was kind of like they looked at a mega church and they were like, okay, how can we do that with this building, if that makes sense. And it's like there was basically like whole rooms for like weird sports that like somebody had a dream about and then decided to make real.
And God bless them.
And it's like that's okay, that's kind of neat. So I was staying with my aunts, and actually, I need to tell the taco story first. I need to tell the taco because that was
Okay,
like
sure. Yes.
when I realized, okay, this is how it's gonna go.
Yeah.
I'm the. It doesn't help that like they know that my family is very left wing, so I'm not just like the cousin from the city, I'm kind of the heathen cousin. And it's like everybody's like really polite to me, but in just a way that's kind of off. Anyway, so it's like,
I
okay,
know what you mean.
cousin from Texas is here. We're gonna make chicken tacos. Great. Hell yeah. I love me some chicken tacos. Let's do it. And me being the way I am, I'm like, okay, hey, do you need any help in the kitchen? Like, would you like me to do anything? My aunt's like, no, just sit down. And so, I'm just kind of sitting at the table with, and it's like the only people there are like my aunt and uncle. And my uncle, God rest him, is very, he was very, very nice. Definitely not a conversationalist. So I was just kind of sitting there in awkward silence, and while like he asked a question, a polite question every 5 minutes or so, and I the whole time I keep glancing into the kitchen to kind of see what she's doing, because and it's like I'm a little bit neurotic, I'm like a herding dog where I kind of have to, it's like I need something to do, like I cannot sit here and watch somebody cook. I have to help, otherwise I'm being rude. But no, she's fine, she's fine. She's standing over a pot on the stove. And it's like, okay, there's chicken in there. We are off to a fantastic start.
Oh no.
She
I'm
unwraps
afraid.
a stick of cream cheese
Oh
and drops the whole thing into the pot.
no.
And I'm kind of like, okay, maybe she's doing like kind of like a flautas thing, because there's which there's not cream cheese, but there's like cream in there, I go back to not talking to my uncle, and I glance over and she is unwrapping a second stick of cream cheese. Which for people, okay, because this is where I confuse the Europeans a little bit. A stick of cream cheese is roughly the size of a stick of butter, and it is just pure solid cream cheese. That was what she was putting in there. And then we ate the chicken tacos. I had half of one.
Oh God.
The only ingredients I could taste were chicken
And
and cream cheese.
oh my
And like,
God.
dude, this is so bad that like even the British people were horrified.
As they should be.
Like all of the British people in the Intellicuts chat when I told this story were rightfully horrified. Yeah, no, so that upset my guts for a couple of days.
Oh boy.
And I was there for a full week, and then the penultimate day that I'm there, is, well, I have to go to church with them. And the whole week, I had kind of been politely saying to my aunt, like, hey, there's a Catholic church in town. Maybe you can drop me off there.
Yeah. By
And
the
she
way,
kept.
I do want to, I did just want to, because I had to, I have to like have our obligatory Simpsons reference, and it's Nacho's Flanders style.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
However, you see that episode. That's a great Silver Age Simpsons episode.
Oh my God.
Anyways, continue.
The fact that we can divide this shit into like Silver Age, Bronze Age, etc. Oh
Yeah.
God. Somebody kill it. It's okay. But I digress. So, I'm like, hey, maybe you could like drop me off at mass. And she's like, well, our church service runs really long. You'd be kind of stuck up there for a really long time, which is Midwest for no.
Yeah.
And she, for some reason, she has this Fargo accent, and nobody else in the family talks like that, and no one in town talks like that, so I don't know
That
where she
is
got
so
it.
odd.
Yeah, I don't know where she it, yeah, no, but anyway, so I'm kind of like, well, I could, there's like plenty of stuff to walk to, I could like go gift shopping for my parents, maybe get some breakfast, like it'd be fine. She makes like some other polite excuse, and I'm like, okay, I guess I'm doing this. And it's definitely one of those, like, because I was asking her, like, okay, what should I wear? And she's like, oh, well, we have, people, just kind of wearing whatever, like we have bikers who show up and blah blah blah. And I'm like, that doesn't answer my question.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, fuck it. Hoodie and jeans. I'm pretty sure I had like a Lou Reed t-shirt under there to give me strength.
Oh, Lou Reed, we're in, really in it now.
Yeah. God. And I have no idea what to expect because she has told me nothing about this place. And but then, on the way there, she's like, oh, by the way, if you feel the calling, you're more than welcome to like, go to the aisle and blah blah blah. And I'm like, oh, okay. Anyway, so we get in there and it's in like the like cafetorium of what used to be this school.
Yeah.
And they like, they pull down these little screens and they have this projector, and it is an hour and a half of singing like really repetitive Christian pop songs.
Yeah.
which it's like, I don't know if any of y'all have, it's like, okay, this is definitely, it's like mega church vibes, but on like 1/100th of like the multi-billion dollar budget,
Yeah.
basically. It's
Yeah.
everything the mega church does, but on a really small scale.
Yeah.
So the weird thing about a lot of those songs is that, like, okay, for one, which there was no like laser light show or fog machine or pyrotechnics the way that you get in a mega church, which the people who know nothing about mega churches are probably like, wait, what? What did you say?
And yeah, or talking to a friend in college or something, saying, "Yeah, I gotta work on Sunday to do. I gotta do tech for the services." Sorry, you just said you had to work on Sunday? What are you doing?
You gotta do tech.
Yeah.
Imagine
Yeah.
being like the pyrotechnics guy for a mega church.
That. We're
Like, how
not
do you
gonna
even begin
lie.
to explain? Like, I do pyrotechnics at church.
Yeah, that actually sounds kind of fun, but
But here's the thing. So like the psychology of it is basically you get a bunch of kids who have never gone to a concert, and you get them in a concert adjacent environment, and then they don't want to leave.
yes.
And you have these very repetitive songs in very particular chord structures because there is a science to this, okay? Like the Pentecostals figured out, okay, which chord progressions get the most emotional resonance?
Yeah.
Like it's a whole thing. Like I'm not just talking out of my ass here. Like you can look this shit up.
Yeah, and I think even in the movie Marjo, which we will, the documentary Marjo, which we'll definitely talk about. He doesn't talk specifically about that, but he did talk about like what it's like going to a revival or going to like Pentecostal services.
Yeah, also, I would say about 99.9 of the churches that call themselves non-denominational are in fact actually Pentecostal.
Interesting.
And that's granted that's more of like a Peggy Hill opinion on my part, but
Sure.
like that's a Peggy Hill fact
Yeah.
on my part.
Yeah.
But just as someone who has like deep dove about this, at this point in time, like in our present culture, non-denominational is just Pentecostal with slightly more syllables. Yeah,
Interesting.
they are functionally indistinguishable at this point. There may have been a point in time when there were some differences, but now it's like the Venn diagram is a circle.
Ah.
But yeah, no, you get these really repetitive songs, usually in, low light with, some fog machines going, and you've got a bunch of people who are either, really digging the vibe or are trying really hard to dig the vibe. And
Yeah.
it's very affecting.
I bet.
It does kind of put people in a trance-like state. And I realize that that sounds hyperbolic, but it no, I'm dead serious. and it's very easy to sort of like get those like emotional gains, God, there is a now deleted Fundy Fridays video where they basically talk about the similarity between like megachurch environments and pro wrestling, but the operative difference
Yeah.
is that pro wrestling, you're like, don't try this at home. These are trained performers, blah blah blah. You have that, asterisk at the beginning of the show, and then you can kind of enjoy it as if it's real.
Yes.
And there's a lot going on to kind of aid that immersion. Yeah, it's kind of like that, but without the PSA. And the
Right.
thing is, like, like an actual, going to an actual like pro wrestling event, it is very affecting.
Yeah.
So you're getting like the annotated behind the scenes version of this story because I never go into this much detail. But anyway, so we're singing all these songs, and I'm like, okay, when's the guy gonna come out and because it's like Catholic Mass is very structured. It's like, okay, we read this part of the scripture, we have a little song about it, we read this other scripture that's like kind of connected thematically, and we have all these little routines, and then like the priest gets out and talks about like, okay, how do these, scriptures connect? Like what's going on? What's this shit all about?
Yeah.
And it's very solitary. It's very contemplative. There is order, there is structure. I really enjoyed it because I'm autistic and I like watching them clean up communion because it's like everybody knows exactly what they're doing. It's like the same steps every time. Like,
That's
wonderful. I love to
great.
see it. Like that shit was like a show to me. But anyway, so none of that. There's nobody is holding a Bible even, like it There's no reading whatsoever. And then the guy comes out and talks to us. After about an hour and a half of singing, the guy comes out and talks to us. The pastor.
Yes.
And oh my God. Here's the thing. At the time, it was like legitimately really distressing, and like I seriously contemplated just leaving the room and either like hiding in the bathroom the entire time or just straight up picking a direction and walking into the cornfield.
I belong to the corn now.
And this isn't me shitting on like rural environments.
Yeah.
I spent half of my childhood in rural environments. I love them. But no, Ohio really is like 90% cornfield. Like that's not an exaggeration. My dad is terrified of cornfields, dude. Like Children of the Corn was actually a very scary movie for him.
Oh, wow.
It was like me and my mom were just laughing at it the whole time. There's even like one scene where it's like I don't even know why they kept this take, but like the main guy like bumps into a pole in like the middle of this like I don't know this like barn or something.
Yeah,
They
freedom as
they just
Ed
keep
Wood
it.
would say, as Ed Wood would say, well, it's real. He
Yeah,
probably has to deal with
it's real.
that
Yeah.
every day.
At the time it was really upsetting, and at one point I did sneak out and I went into the bathroom and I tried to call my mom and I couldn't get any signal.
Oh boy. And so, what was it about this guy that was so upsetting?
So at first it was a bunch of, just like really unhinged rants about like he pulls up YouTube videos and just talked about whatever was upsetting him
Oh
that
my
day.
God.
He pulled up YouTube videos, and one of them was the like at the time President Obama talking about how like America is a nation of diversity and religious freedom, and we need to be, tolerant and respectful of other people's religions. And the pastor was going on at length about how that was bad
Oh
because
boy.
America is a Christian country and specifically
Oh
our
boy.
flavor of Christian. And
Oh
then, of course, like, oh, the transgenders are ruining America and blah, blah,
boy. Oh yeah.
blah. And I'm like, sweating in transgender.
Yeah.
And all kinds of shit like that. And it's obviously my experience is not universal, but like I knew of, churches doing that shit. I had seen Jesus Camp,
Yeah.
but I've never actually had to be in that kind of environment before.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, there are, absolutely like Catholic churches that do that. That would never have been accepted where I came from.
Right.
Like the no.
Yeah, because that priest, the priest that you're talking about, that wasn't the way he was.
Yeah. And like so it's like, and I'm fucking angry. Like my hands are like balled into fists. I am like and like specifically, I am like white as a sheet.
Oh, wow.
And then he throws a curveball at me, which he gets into this weird tangent, and I've heard of other preachers doing this, using this exact same anecdote. Because my cousins, my like on my mom's side, my speaking terms cousins that I'm
Yeah.
very close with, basically like were forced at some point, probably by some sort of obscure relative, to experience a Pentecostal church.
Yeah.
And the pastor got out and used this exact same anecdote of
Ooh.
like, oh, you get a puppy and it's really cute, but then, you blink and suddenly you have, this big like ferocious dog, and you're like, how did I get the, you know, how did this beast end up in my house? And it's supposed to be about like, you know, oh, you cultivate bad habits until they spiral out of control or something. But then he ends it with like, are you feeding your good doggy or your bad doggy? And that was and he said it, are you feeding your good doggy or your bad doggy? And it was a meme between me and my cousins for the longest time because we would say, like, are you feeding your good daddy or your bad daddy?
It's
Sitting there and
like
I'm just.
me and my mate Frank. We have the good the it's the it's the good boy phone and the naughty boy phone. Which is what which phone are you using to cheat on your spouse?
Also have like if there's ever like anything unexplained or like some sort of object in the house that does not belong to anyone, it's usually, oh, that's secret weekend daddy's, you know, or like, oh yeah, secret weekend mommy did that. I should clarify that all of us are like 30 years old. But I digress. I digress. So I'm kind of just sitting there like, what the fuck? And this has lived rent-free in my brain for 10 years. In fact, it has been roughly exactly 10 years since this occasion. He goes, have any of you seen Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory?
Oh my God. Okay.
And it's like just take a moment to really appreciate that, just to really marinate on that, because that is like we have gone so far off the rails at this point. This guy has never even quoted scripture up to this point.
I mean, at this point, at that point, I would just, my attention would be rapt. I was like, what? Tell me. Yes,
Yeah,
I
no, and it's like
am. Why?
I was making that I'm pretty sure I was making that face like that MS Paint drawing of Tails from Sonic.
Yes.
You know, the one where he's just like viscerally like offended and confused.
Yes.
You know, have any of you seen Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory? You know that girl, Violet Beauregard? You know, she turns into a blueberry. And they gotta take her to the squeezing room or she's gonna blow up. They take her to the squeezing room. And what comes out of her? Blueberry juice. He had a very strange accent, not one that I've ever really heard in Ohio. He kind of sounded, in my head, he kind of sounds like Jimmy Stewart, but
Oh my God.
I digress. I digress. What's gonna come out of you when the world squeezes you? When you stub your toe or you lose your job? Will it be swears? Will it be secular music? Or will it be scripture? Thank you. And then he just leaves!
He really went. That's my closer. That's been my 15 minutes. Good night, folks.
I realized why my aunt was so adamant about me going to this particular service, and it was because it was the one day of the year where they do their version of communion. And like an idiot,
Oh no.
I went up there, and here's the thing, when she asked me how was it, all I could really say about this experience, what and things were awkward for like a really long time. The only nice thing I could really say about it was, well, I really liked the little single serve grape juice cups.
Yes.
I really appreciated that. Like that was nice. And that was like the like I was in a state of catatonia for like a few hours afterward. But anyway, I ate the little chip and like, you know, threw back that grape juice right there, because that's how you do it. You do that at like the altar. You don't walk away, and everybody's fucking walking away with it, and I'm like, oh shit. And they're just like, they're forming like little like prayer circles, and I guess it's like fuck you if you're on your own. I don't know. And I'm just kind of like staring at my shoes and trying not to cry, because it's because it's like I knew why I was there. This was direct disrespect.
Oh
And
boy.
I did kind of like talk to her afterward, and I was like, yeah, I'm like really happy for you. Never do that to me again. And that is kind of like the sober sad. And my mom felt so bad because she found like all of like the missed calls, and she was like, oh my God, are you okay?
Oh.
Yeah, but like I did meet up with like one of my cousins afterward, and like she's not like it's like all of them are kind of fundy adjacent, but like back then she was at least like kind of normal about a lot of things, and she was like, yeah, I'm really sorry my mom did that. That was 100% on purpose. Like,
Oh.
and I'm like, oh God. Which is, I ended up having to go up there a second time. Like, my dad would just kind of decide that I was going to Ohio.
Oh boy.
And I was able to talk her into taking me to Catholic Mass.
Oh, finally.
But she made a point of sitting in her car with it running in the parking lot the entire time when she lives like 5 minutes away.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And I still had to go to, the mini mega church, but it was, I guess somebody may have talked to him at some point, because like he just kind of gave like the sort of generic peace and love speech,
Or
but the crucial difference,
like a normal homily.
yeah, like a pretty normal sermon.
Yeah.
But the thing that made that experience kind of cursed was there was this like white guy with dreadlocks
Oh God.
who was like sitting directly behind me, who was basically like shouting off key the entire time.
Oh God.
And
Oh.
like, okay. And this is something that I kind of, and it's like I've gone way off base here, and we already have an episode worth of content for me to of me just rattling off about my terrible day at a Pentecostal church. But something that I find interesting is that they basically like sort of cosplay as being progressive in the sense that they're like, oh yeah, you can be like alternative and show up here. Like
Yeah.
there were people with blue
Yeah.
hair,
Yeah. Like, oh yeah, you can show up. You can come. You don't have to dress up. Come as you are.
Yeah, and then like it's like they'll do that, and then it is like a particular brand of unhinged conservatism,
Yeah, which not to I not to like just keep plugging what they believe, but the most recent What They Believe episode was a which this wasn't planned, by the way. It was this just kind of happened. Franklin Crawford, the host, he ended up having an interview with someone who were basically like it was like, oh, I picked you because you said like come as you are. And then he's like, but I have to ask, like, how do you feel about the queer community? And the answer that he got was very revealing. But it was just like that. It was like, oh yeah, come as you are, it's fine. And then he started saying really just real lot of out-of-pocket stuff.
Yeah, what they believe is fantastic, by the way.
Yes.
And like it did kind of help a lot in like sort of helping me deconstruct my Protestant phobia, if you will.
Oh, that's great. That's one of the best plugs for. That's one of the best things you can say. Yeah, what they believe has a huge, I can't I what they believe has a huge influence on this podcast, and it's probably gonna be in the form of like, oh, I saw this on the on what they believe, and I will say I'm familiar with the host. I'll leave it at that. But he does a lot of he really does his research, and
I
he
was really
really
confused for a second, by the way.
yeah. Anyways, yeah, it's anyways, what they believe, it's good. Check it out.
Oh yeah, no. But yeah, God. And it's like I will say this, like, this incident did kind of play a big part in, like, me being kind of shitty about like religion in general and Protestants in specific.
Yeah.
And which is also kind of painting Protestantism with a very wide brush.
Yeah.
But specifically, like, charismatics.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, and things of that nature.
Yeah.
And that, I didn't really become normal about it until I kind of started, sort of exploring it. And then I also had like a few like really good conversations with people where they were like, yeah, like my church kind of does something like that, but like, oh my God, we never would have done that,
Yeah.
like, and like, yeah, and it's like, and they never would have like sprang that on you. Like, we had like, 'cause we have like the once a year communion thing, but we kind of like explain at the beginning of the service like how that works, and it's like not weird if you're like a guest just checking things out and don't necessarily like feel comfortable participating, like
Yeah.
that's fine. And I was like, yeah, like that would have made the experience like a lot less like scary and fucked up.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm really glad y'all are doing it that way. Like, that's really nice. Thank you. And it's like, and I was like a little bit of an asshole, so I was just really, I was really grateful for this person's patience, and I was like, yeah, I'm really sorry I said all that shit. And he's like, no, that was fucked up.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah, that was not normal.
yeah, like that was unhinged.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. And it's one of those things where it's like I laugh about it now, but just at the time it was legitimately very distressing. And also I do find it a little, these were people who didn't even believe in going to the doctor.
Yeah, that's not normal.
Yeah, it's like they didn't believe in going
That's
to the
so
doctor,
funny.
and one time my mom almost threw them out of the house because they said that because they're good people, they don't have to worry about getting cancer, and my
Oh
grandma had
boy.
just died of cancer.
Oh boy. Yeah. Your mom has more patience than me.
And, well, my mom's got teeth. My mom was like, "Are you saying that my mom was a bad person?"
Yeah.
And they're like, well, no. And she's like, okay, yeah, that's what I thought.
That to my face.
Yeah, no, she does not abide that shit. And like, basically, my aunts also, I don't ever need to get a mammogram because, like, God will protect me and blah blah blah. Basically, both of my aunts have like had cancer since then, and
Oh,
like thankfully they survived.
yeah, but ooh.
Both of my uncles died of cancer.
Oh boy.
Yeah, and like really fucked up shit because they were chemical workers. They were chemical workers and they did not believe in going to the doctor.
Oh
And
boy.
specifically one of my, my aunt who said the mammogram thing, she, I think my mom maybe planted a little bit of a seed or something because the first thing she did when she got back to Ohio was she got a mammogram and turns out she had like an early stage of breast cancer.
Oh my God, that's actually that was that's I mean that's not good. It's not
Yeah.
good that she had it. It's
But it's
great that
like that's
she,
the
yeah.
it's like given the circumstances, that is the best possible way that things could have ended.
Yeah.
And I also kind of wish that I could have stayed with this particular aunt because she was a little nicer and a little more normal about things. I kind of stayed with the one who's like a little more off the deep end.
Yeah.
And it's so strange because they're just very lopsided people in the sense that I can have like very honest and very forthright discussions about like, mental illness and like abuse that we've experienced and like, the autistic experience, because pretty much
Yeah.
everybody in this family is autistic
Yeah.
on both sides.
Yeah.
I kid you not. It's like I could have these really, deep and forthright discussions about things. But then apparently there's like still room in there for blueberry juice.
Yeah, I yeah. It's
I'm not kidding. He did actually say secular music.
Oh boy.
He did say secular music. Like that is not an exaggeration. Like that is etched into my brain.
Secular music.
And the word and it's like the most bitter irony of it is that like, when the world squeezes you, what's gonna come out? Is it gonna be scripture?
Yeah.
My brother in Christ, you have not quoted scripture once.
Exactly. I was just about to say the same thing.
Like if I knew nothing about Christianity whatsoever, it like just that cultural osmosis just never touched me. Like
Yeah.
that would be just the worst introduction to it, like
Yeah, what? Yeah.
the I'm sorry, I'm sorry. At least this is just me riffing at this point, but at least in the Catholic Church it's very easy to figure out that, like, oh yeah, that big dead guy on the wall,
Oh
he's
yeah.
really important.
Yeah, I mean it's
And now I'm thinking,
very
and now of course I'm
yeah.
thinking about Bill Hicks.
Oh my God. I'm following Vern.
Like, what if Jesus came back and was like, wait a second.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah,
God,
and
I
Jesus
miss
came
Bill
back. You think the
Hicks.
only thing he'd want to see is a cross?
I'm so sorry that I just took a, like, that took so long for me to explain, and I had nothing particularly insightful to say about it. It was just a very bad day for me.
I mean, but it's a good like it's a good way to kind of like it kind of lays it out, and I think you know the thing my I'll sort of touch I'll talk very briefly about myself, which is that like I. Oh boy, this is actually kind of it has a lot of parallels. It's like we my parents were considered a mixed marriage, and at the time the synagogue that they went to, which was in Central Texas, they were told by the rabbi, "Oh, a mixed marriage is an unhappy marriage." My parents had been together for 10 years at that point. So it was like, so it was a bit of that was a that's why, like, sometimes when I there have been several Jewish people, even rabbis that I talked to, and they're like, well, no one's ever been discriminated against about that, and I'm like, you haven't met me. And there was basically, we started out there, we were there for a few years, and then when I was really young, for reasons I'm not going to get into here because it reveals too much information, we left. And we kind of, for a while, I think we ended up going to an Episcopal church because that's how my dad was raised. And by the time we left, eventually we moved out of Texas. And I remember, I'm pretty sure what happened, what I remember is that we moved out of Texas, we came to North Carolina, and then as a family, we just went, huh. We don't want to go to church anymore. I have a very clear memory of my mom saying, and this was like 99. So she was kind of, what she was kind of talking about ended up being like this now, the norm is that she said, and both my parents are computer scientists, and programmers. But I remember my mom, like, we're driving. And it's like 99, we moved into our house and we're driving, and my mom's like, why do I have to schlep all the way to church? Like, it's the day of rest. I don't want to go. Why can't I just tune into a webcast and they'll just, send it to me on my computer? And of course, that's what everyone
I
does now.
got some bad news about what's going to happen in 20 years, Seth's mom.
But that is what people started doing. So I was like, wow, I didn't think about that until 2020. I was like, wow, I was onto something there. I kind of came back to Judaism in high school. I tried to take it very seriously, even through into college. And at that point, I kind of gave up. I was like, maybe this isn't working for me, because I would talk to it was it really was that thing of like, I just keep trying to talk to other Jewish people, but then I'm realizing that, like, I didn't learn Hebrew during the whole time that I was, during this whole time, and what little Hebrew I had learned, I forgot. I was pretty much set, I was separated from the culture. So it's like, and I kind of had to, like, teach myself a lot of stuff. And of course, in reading stuff, I ended up developing a personal distaste for the holiday of Hanukkah, which that will be an episode.
Oh my God.
And of course, then I'm talking to these people who were raised with it, which, they didn't. I'm sort of coming at it as almost as if a convert, in that I had to read about it rather than just being immersed in the culture. And I'm like, hey, did you know that Hanukkah is about this? And they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, it's in the books. It's in the books. And they're like, but no. And I'm like, yes. And it was just, it was rough. And so I kind of ended up with, like, really, it's like I got a lot of the Jewish values through my parents, without a lot of the religiosity on top. And now I'm just sort of, I think my outlook at this point is I've kind of settled into agnostic, which is to say that there might be a divine intelligence, but it is so outside of human comprehension and perception that any attempt to communicate with it or interpret its communication with us is completely futile. So,
I will that's that I will say one that's it's kind of interesting how that is like a little bit of like because my dad is like ethnically Jewish, but specifically from his dad. And his dad was very much indifferent to it as a concept. So my dad just never really grew up with any of that. And it's like he's happy with the state of things now, but it's like I can tell that he kind of wishes that things were had been a little different, and sometimes wonders, and there is a little bit of wistfulness there. Secondly, I think the divine will is actually very easy to interpret, because you see, when things are going well for me, it means that God hates me, but when things are going really well for me, I am God's specialist and favoritist little guy. Obviously, like, my cosmology is a lot more complicated than that, but that is that tends to be my self-talk. But I will say what's kind of interesting is that when I'm off my meds, or my meds are not working as well as they should, I am a staunch atheist. I do not believe in anything. I cannot compel myself to believe in anything. However, when my meds are working, I'm pretty spiritual, but it's like, you know, it's like I'm more comfortable telling people that I'm trans than telling people that I am any sort of like religious or spiritual, because it's like, okay, how much time do you have?
That's what it really is. And I think it took me, I'm boiling it down to that kind of concise description. I mean, that took like, I don't know, 10 years. And a lot of it was honestly, you know, what they believe really is an influence on it, because what they believe was part of helping me condense it down to that.
Yeah, and it's like it, you know, there, and it's like there's like varying degrees like of complexity, you know, like the surface, you know, sort of like the surface level identity, like what you explain to people who are, you know, acquaintances, what you explain to people who are friends, et cetera, et cetera. And I get it's like if I had to articulate it, the easiest and simplest way I could explain it would be folk Catholic. Specifically by way of my mom, which my mom's family is like Serbian and Czech. And even then, that's like a really terrible way of identifying it, because my grandpa is not, but it's like but that's the cultural identity, you know, and it's like, and my grandfather ma very much married into that, and sort of like became a part of that. But what I've noticed is that a lot of the general like traditions and views we have tend to skew like a little bit more Eastern Orthodox, but it's also like, okay, good luck finding an Eastern Orthodox church in Texas, and also it's the year 1900, and you can't drive. So it's kind of like that. But there's also just a lot of like folk magic involved, and you know, a lot of things that are spiritual, but not necessarily like aligned with the theology per se. So, you know, and there are some things that kind of border on ancestor worship. So it's basically I'm witchy Catholic. You
Which
know, it's like when things
same
are it's like
person.
when things are going like a little bit like fucky in the house. The general solution is light a green candle and say a prayer to grandma. Like things of that nature. And so it's like, and it's like obviously there are people who are gonna be like, oh, you know, well that's not sane and blah blah blah. I don't give a shit. Let me have my funny little traditions and totems, okay?
And I think I'll kind of like condense down what little notes I have, which is manifesting some stuff. Like, what's the whole point of this? Why are we doing this? What's this all about? And I think I was thinking about it, and it's like, is it possible to do a podcast without the goal of making it our job?
Yes, and we're doing it.
Yeah,
I
because
don't
this
want
is
this to be
not
my job.
professional.
I don't want this to be my job. I'm having too much fun.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, and it's, yeah, are we professional? No. I don't know
God.
what the I don't know if you noticed from the editing. This
Okay,
is not
one more
professional.
thing, and this is like a little bit funny. This is a little bit
Yeah.
funny. So my mom's parents, my grandfather, who I've told you a lot about,
Yes.
he and my grandmother eloped,
Yes.
and like her sisters like stole all of her shit. It was a whole thing. And then, like, my grandpa had to have some words with my grandma's parents because he was kind of like, yeah, respecting your daughter also means respecting her decisions. And if you're not going to treat her with respect, then like you probably shouldn't see her until you can figure out how to behave yourselves. And, and he kind of bought his way into their good graces by just being my grandma's very scary attack dog.
That's pretty boss, honestly.
Yeah, and it's like, and her dad was like 6.5 feet tall, and my grandpa was like maybe 5 foot nothing.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, but it's like they learned to mind their P's and Q's around him, let's just say that. But and he was a very powerful ally to have. But my grandma eventually wanted to have a wedding in the church, but that was a whole process back then.
Yeah.
And my grandpa had to get like an annulment from the Pope for like his previous marriage and blah blah blah, which is just the Pope like stamping a document. Like that's really all it is. And he had to get like his sacraments done like super quickly, like it was kind of just like a one stop, like, okay, here you go, here's all the stuff, So, they were able to have a church wedding. But like, technically my grandpa was confirmed, but he was not Catholic. Like he was like a lifelong atheist.
Yeah.
What's really funny though
Oh,
is when Vatican II happened. And here's the
yeah.
thing, people who are not normal about Vatican II tend to be either like right-wing weirdos, as Conclave has shown us,
Yes.
or just very strange people.
Yes.
And my grandpa was very firmly in the second camp because he was,
Yes.
he was pissed when Vatican II happened. And of course, my mom is like, "Well, why?" And he's like, "Well, they took the Latin out, and the Latin was so beautiful, like the mass was so beautiful, and
Yeah.
now it's just, and now it's in English, and and that's just fucking stupid, I hate that." And she's like, "Dad, you're an atheist and you hate going to mass."
And now he hates it even more.
It's like, okay, pick a struggle, buddy. But yeah, no, I just, but it's like, I hate to say it, but that is something just, that's, to me, that is Catholic culture. Like,
That really, I love that.
but you're an atheist. Yeah, but they changed it and now it sucks.
Yeah. They changed it. Now I hate
It's like, why do you have an opinion on this? Like, you don't go there.
it. Yeah, oh God, like I'm so excited for doing more episodes, but like
Yeah.
I did wanna I kind of wanted to explain like so what is when I say at the beginning we do this in the spirit of Samizdat. So Samizdat is the that was the dissident literature in the Soviet bloc countries, and some of the quality like you're like good sim is done. That's when you know you got the real shit, was when it was like blurry, ragged, uneven, looking crunchy, bad audio, all of that stuff, because that's how you know that it was homemade and that it wasn't touched by sensors. And specifically, one of the what is considered the very first, quote unquote, I'd say the very first podcast, if you're talking about podcasts in the very, I guess, in the material sense of what is, a recording that is then distributed decentrally. The Illusion of Independent Radio was a audio, was Audio Summiz dot that, I think they made, there was like quote unquote like four episodes, and they were distributed on cassette tapes. And I just love that as a name, the Illusion of Independent Radio.
Yeah.
Like, they're already saying, don't take this seriously.
Yeah.
And
God.
it's just and so that's kind of why, like, I want to have it. That's another, and I would say, like, another big influence is, I forget, I think I've sent it to you. I don't know if you've ever watched Syphil and Ollie.
I don't think I did, but it's like it
Oh
sounds really
boy.
familiar, but like
Syphil and
I may
Ollie,
have had some
okay.
life things happening.
For anyone who doesn't want, all the episodes are on YouTube. Someone did Syphil and Ollie Restructured, and it's great. It has all the original music. It was a show. It was one of when MTV had no money and didn't know what they were doing. They threw some money at two guys who created Syphil and Ollie, and it's sock puppets doing a like public access show. And my mate Frank, now he really likes the show, but when he first saw it, he said that he went to work because this is around the time that South Park had just started, and South Park really, now it's all on computers, but at the time it really was made of like cutout construction paper. And he said, he was complaining to coworkers that he said, so first we have South Park, which is just animation with construction paper. Now we have Syphil and Ollie, which is just sock puppets talking to each other. And he said, eventually, all animation is just going to be squiggles that say fuck.
I got some good news for him about squiggle vision.
Yes.
Like, squiggle vision is my favorite era of animation. Like, I, but to be fair, it's like I was obsessed with that when I was like 19 or so. And it's like, honestly, it's perfect when you're 19.
It really is.
Like Dr. Katz
I was about to say
and
Dr.
all
Katz.
that.
But it's very like Syphil and Ollie is so, I mean, there's barely an illusion of what's going on. It's like it looks bad, but it's so charming. I really love how I just love the look at it because it's so it looks so homemade. And crappy in a way that I don't think anything will ever look anymore. Like, and that's sort of why, that is kind of like why I don't want to do, like, yeah, I don't expect any good, don't expect a lot of good editing on this. And it is just, the other thing is, we think we have interesting opinions and we want to talk to
Oh my
people.
God, dude. I just remembered. I still need to get with Mr. Doggy about the music.
Yes,
Fuck.
right now we're
Oh
using,
God.
yeah, I'm using I'm using something in the public domain, as you know, in the outro. Eventually we may get an original song from our buddy Mr. Doggy, who will hopefully eventually be a guest. And that's the other thing is, so eventually we'll have guests because it's going to be loose. There's not going to be a schedule. We're not going to have a Patreon. We'll set up a Ko-fi, if you want to give us some walking around money. And who
Yeah.
gets to be on it? It's people who, people we know, people who are our friends who feel like talking about stuff. And I think what's one of the things that I kind of want to try is things like, no one, you don't have like, a lot, like on a lot of, there's like way too many podcasts that I listen to, and it's like, and here's someone's full legal first and last name. We're not using our real names, nor do we want to. And other people who want to be on there, you don't have to either. You can do whatever you want. Who cares? And then, is it possible to maintain privacy? Maybe. Let's hope so. It's and I have some notes here like, what is art? We're gonna find out. And guests equals, yeah, if you're notable, you can join us or whatever. Yeah, I
But it's
get.
like you can't talk about the thing that you're notable for. You have to talk about just like your whack ass special interest, which is why like if we ever get like Simon on here, I want to talk about like conservative art.
Yes. Oh, I'm so excited for that one. Yeah, if you're, yeah. So I guess you can join us, Harrison Ford. If
But you have to talk about carpentry.
you talk about Star Wars, I'm dumping the interview. Same thing. There are like, I mean, it would be because there are like, and of course, Star Trek. I was thinking about this today. I was like, yeah, Robert Picardo, Peter Billingsley, Ethan Phillips. I guess you can come on here, but you're not allowed to talk about Star Trek. I'm the one who talks about Star Trek. You shut up. Yeah, I mean, I think what I'm hoping is that guests also can like choose their topic. So, like you said, Simon, I know Simon wants to talk about conservative art, and I'm really excited for that. And I think the other thing is if it's ever anyone even kind of famous, shut up about your life. I don't care. I don't care. What
I think
made
one of my
you?
favorite point, I think one of
Go
my favorite
ahead.
points that he made at one point, and this may have been like before y'all had met, but
Yeah.
because there's gonna be a Thomas Kincaid episode.
Oh, yes, there will be.
Like there's gonna be a Thomas Kincaid episode, but at one point I was kind of shopping some ideas around in that chat, and you know, it's like Thomas Kincaid is basically like the punchline of so-called bad art.
Yes.
And at one point Simon was just like, counterpoint, tell me that this doesn't rule though. And it was a Kincaid painting of like a bunch of like Disney characters on the beach. And the thing is, it's like on all levels except like the thing is, I hate commercialism, you know?
Yeah.
Like I'm a joy-killing little communist, but it rules is the thing.
Yes.
I hate that it's good to look at.
Yeah, it's
I hate that it rules.
yes.
And it's like, yeah, you're right, it does rule.
Yeah.
Like
And that's definitely like that's gonna be one of the things is that, and that's the other thing is that because like I refuse to professionalize this thing. If it's that's one of the it's one of those things where I'm like if it's not fun, I'm not gonna do it. That's why you're never gonna hear us. I am never going to talk about a movie that we quote unquote had to watch, even though I hate it. It's going to be like we ended up watching this movie because we were so horribly interested in it that we couldn't stop ourselves and now
oh,
we're
there's going to be
complaining
a one
about
from
it.
the heart episode.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
We
but
got to
this
have a one
was
from the heart episode.
but we could not stop ourselves. It's really gonna be it's
If
never
it's
gonna come to
if it's
life.
something horrible, it has to be so horrible that it compels us.
Yes, it's always gonna be like, oh, this is boring, this is bad and boring. It's always gonna be it's bad but so compelling. We did this to ourselves. We are the ones, we have only ourselves to blame for watching this shitty
I also have just on the back burner, and I need to make notes for it because it's like I have all the bookmarks. They're just sitting there in my folders. A Leroy Jenkins episode, but specifically focused on the terrible movie that was made about Leroy Jenkins that I made you watch
movie.
one with me one time.
Wait. Oh, yeah. And we are going to try to, at one point, I am going to try to like cover more than just the Abrahamic religions. Like, I already have, I mean, I have in my head, like, eventually I'm gonna do like, we're gonna cover Paradise Lost. I have to cover Paradise Lost because it's not responsible for me nearly crashing my car, but I did almost crash my car while listening to it. While listening to the audiobook of Paradise Lost, and it was, I felt like I was having a panic attack when I would
It's
listen
okay,
to
like
it.
I got in a car crash while listening, well, like midway through the song I Am Koresh from the Indelicates, David Koresh Superstar.
Oh boy.
And yeah, I was very quick to turn that shit off.
But I am, I want to cover the Bhagavad Gita because I had read it some time ago, and I was really taken with some of the things that I saw on it. I keep teasing, like, I keep talking about this. Eventually there's going to be the big, maybe the multi-part episode about post-colonial Sudan and like the whale, the white whale would be to actually talk to Alexander Siddig, because it is about religion, it is about colonialism, and oh, by the way, it's about his family. And I would, if it would honest to God be really cool to put out that episode and then later him say, "Hey, that was neat. I would like to talk to you some more about that." Holy shit,
Yeah, but
sure.
like in order for that to happen, we would probably have to have more than like seven people listening, unless one of
Yeah.
those seven people is like really well connected.
Yeah, well, you never know. Anyways, this is, and I think I did have kind of a kind of last thing here, which is that there's something, by the way, the next several episodes, you're gonna hear me, anyone who doesn't like personally know me and isn't talking to me, eventually you're gonna hear me talk about Jean Baudrillard's simulacra and simulation a lot. And if you talk to me personally, you're gonna hear me say, this has a there's a lot of simulacra and simulation coming off of this.
Hulk Hogan is a shadow on the wall of a cave.
Yes. But is there something we can try to be like non-professional and authentic and real, but there's always going to be kind of in the back of our mind, they'll be kind of, maybe we'll eventually answer this as we go through this experiment, which is there always going to be something inherently hyper real and exploitative about a podcast? I hope that we can, it will probably be hyper real, but I'm kind of hoping that it only that we can at least keep it, get all the stuff that can maybe feel, I don't know, confining and artificial about most podcasts, even when it's between friends, the people who are like really good friends. I'm kind of hoping that we can like get rid of that stuff by getting rid of all the professionalism. Hence why, like, I'm not gonna schedule stuff. We're not gonna have a Patreon. It's gonna be, hand us some money if you want. And I really want to stick to that. Like, I don't care. I don't care how famous a person is, even if it was like, if it's Harrison Ford, I'm literally gonna call him like Harold. I'm gonna use the wrong name, and he doesn't get to talk about any of the stuff he's working on. He only gets to talk about carpentry or something, and we never credit him. And the only way anyone is ever gonna know is because it's his voice. If they can guess that it's his voice, they win. But otherwise, no, you never, that's the point of this. You never get to use your real name, no matter, especially if you're famous. And then otherwise, I guess you can come to our playhouse.
Sorry, I have an idea for a bit, but like you have to, it's like you have to cut this out, otherwise it's not funny.
Okay.
But like It's like we have all this, this stuff about like, we're, no Patreon, no nothing, we're, completely unprofessional. And then I just Anyway, this episode was sponsored by the Great Courses Plus, and if you enter in the coupon code ECHOLOGORIA69, you get 69 free years of the Great Courses Plus. And you just like fade in the music over.
This podcast is, before we go, I'll have a little pause here. Before we go, as we get together, we just want to mention that this podcast is sponsored by Mechanical Violator Hackinder, the best movie ever made.
Yes. Also, you can leave in all that shit I said. I like that. I think that's fun.
Mechanical Violator Hackinder is boss and the most beautiful thing ever
God.
in existence.
Oh my God, I went to Jesus Town. I went to
I
Jesus Town.
went to Jesus Town.
I went to Jesus Town and it's in Ohio.
Oh my God, we did it. We made it full circle. I just realized
God.
I didn't even explain the name of the show, why it's called that. And you know what? I'm not gonna explain it anytime soon.
Echologorea is a production of us, Seth and Reb. Intro and outro music is Ori's Creole Trombone by Kid Ori's Sunshine Orchestra from 1922, played at 78 RPM, now in the public domain. Thank you to the archivists at the Internet Archive for digitizing the original recording. Find us on Tumblr at Echologorea. Email us at echologorea@tutamail.com, or drop us a line at 336-477-3425. Here's some stuff we love. For religion, check out the What They Believe series or Fundy Fridays. For philosophy, start with the Portable Enlightenment Reader from Penguin Random House. And for art, look for it in every crevice of your town.